I was just wondering if you could back up for a second. There's a question that was asked. Would Josiah be considered a new convert or a novice? He was 8 years of age and the king.
Well, it does say how many years it... First it says of him, he began to seek the Lord at this age. Then it says he began to serve the Lord. I'm paraphrasing. He began to serve the Lord. So first he sought the Lord at such an age. I think it was 16 maybe. And then, years later, then he began purging Israel.
Also in 1 Peter chapter 2, it tells you his instructions to a novice. It says to lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, and as newborn babes to desire sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And that growth is to be growth into maturity. Because as you want to mature to be like Hebrews chapter 5, where you have aged, that you can discern good and evil. And that's the goal, to discern good and evil. Because evil is so subtle at times, it looks like it's good, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And even Satan appears as an angel of light, as you've seen in the scriptures. But it says, desire the sincere milk of the words for the knowledge, they may grow thereby. And then you know that it tells you, even in Matthew chapter 5, it says, be ye perfect, or fully mature, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. To be, and just as he told Timothy, be an example. Be in word, in conversation, manner of life, in faith, in purity, because you don't want to set the wrong example. People are looking at you, and you're to be an example. He says, be those things. Also in Second Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe. I think here's a list of things to show some building blocks in your maturity.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1, 2 Peter.
Verse 5, I believe, from verse 5.
Yes. But let me start at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby giving us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, which is godliness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith, we get in by faith, virtue, moral excellence, discerning right and wrong. Then you have to virtue knowledge, that your knowledge doesn't puff you up. You have virtue, the moral excellence, so that the knowledge, you don't get carried away with it. To knowledge, temperance, self-control. To temperance, patience, to wait on the Lord. To patience, godliness. And then from godliness, you're an example. You're a shining light of godliness. But then he says, now put that towards brotherly kindness, instead of just vertically looking good, also horizontally. And to brotherly kindness, love. And without love, everything is of no value, no matter what we do. It's of no value. It's a counterfeit bill if we don't have love.
So what was knowledge sandwiched between? What were the two
virtue
things? Virtue.
And knowledge was virtue and temperance. Self-control.
I tell you, if we have our knowledge sandwiched between virtue, which is person, which is your godly influence on other people, and self-control, help you won't be puffed up.
Amen.
I want to just go back. I don't want to take away from that, but did your question get answered?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. I think Mark's going to answer for you.
Proxy, just to get the reference in 2 Chronicles 34, just to highlight some of the quick answers that were made. Josiah was 8 years old. This is 2 Chronicles 34 when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left because, or for, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. I think for Josiah, he was one of those individuals who perhaps were learning on the job. He becoming king had nothing to do with something that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But as he became king, he had the option to follow in the footsteps of the bad kings, or he had the options to look at a model of a king that, you know, God was well pleased with. And in looking at David, he sought the God of David. And so he was on the job training. And in on the job training, he was in that role, but it took some time for him to get to the point where he understood what God's particular direction for his service was to be. But it first started with him seeking the Lord. And I think that's really the lesson where we're really zeroing in on, in that in order for us to serve, we have to know who we serve. And in knowing who we serve, we receive the direction from him and how to serve.
Just to connect this around with godliness, we see David, the man of God. We see him mentioned here, verse 3 of chapter 34. He began to seek the God of David, his father. Mm-hmm. So that goes back. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if you... if we take this on-the-job training that you're saying, he's not recorded as really doing anything as king. I'm sure he, did things as king, although no doubt there were advisors and so on, as there were with Joash. But it's in the eighth year of his reign, in verse 3, he began to seek the God of his father. It's in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. It's in the 18th year, verse 8, when he began to interact with those who would repair the house of the Lord. So just the point being that there was this seeking time where he was, mm-hmm. he was not trying to make huge strides at the age of eight when this responsibility was sort of thrust upon him. He spent quiet time before he actually began doing a lot of observable activity.
Yeah, I think the key word is began. He began to do, and typically novices begin somewhere, and that's where he began, but he continued on, and there was growth, clearly, sure.
I wonder, since you're talking about novices, could somebody address the words of Paul to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth?
That's why I asked when Joe first asked the question, when you say young, what did you mean by young? Because Timothy was, in fact, a young man, mm-hmm. yet he was a mature young man placed in a very high, visible place of responsibility. But he had proven that he was competent over his life and his devotedness and his being taught by the Apostle Paul and having learned and embraced the scriptures and seeing the bigger picture of God's interest for his people. And so as far as young in age, chronological age, it's really not a matter. It's a matter of the heart and its devotedness to Christ and the Word of God abiding in such a heart. So that's why I asked the question about young, because I thought that was a very good question to come up.
I think of Jeremiah, too. Jeremiah was young. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how young, but he was young. And the Lord told him, don't use that as an excuse. I want to use you. Yeah. But there was, before there was the public service, there was an ongoing work of the Spirit of God in Timothy's life, and an ongoing work, no doubt, of the Spirit of God in Jeremiah's life. And I think that's what we're getting at, is are we preparing the fields so that God can bring the harvest in our life? We're out there. We're are we allowing the Spirit of God to plant the seeds so that He can bring a harvest later in our lives to serve Him for His glory?